And that's working very good. And let's start the video. And that is working. And you want me to put it up a little bit? Okay. Let's put that up a little bit. There you go. That's good enough. Because otherwise, it screeches, you know. Well, we're here today on Resurrection Yom Rishon. And we're going to start our study today. Try it one more time. One more time. There you go. I need some more unleavened bread. Well, anyway, we're one of Messiah congregation, Kahal Chai BeMashiach. Just a little piece, Adat Israel, a little piece of the Israel of God. And happy Feast of Unleavened Bread, and today's a Sabbath. And it's also, we call it Resurrection, well, they call it Sunday, so we call it Resurrection Sunday, or Yom Rishon in Hebrew, right? First day of the week, and it's a Sabbath, and let's ask God to bless and anoint this day. Heavenly Father, Master, Creator of everything, we come to you today, Lord and God, on your Feast of Unleavened Bread, that we do it in memorial. Bless and anoint this day. Forgive us any sin, any blemish, any spot, any wrinkle. We know not even a dot is going to enter the kingdom of heaven of sin. Help us, Lord and God, to be perfectly righteous. And we know how to be perfect because we either keep your commandments or not. So we understand that. Bless and anoint this day in Yeshua's name. Bless the study, the conversations, the music, the food. Bless everything. Let it be to the glory of God. Bless our unleavened bread, our humble bread. No pride, no puffed upness. Bless and anoint the brothers and sisters here and the ones on the internet and everyone else in the world that's keeping your holy day. And I thank God for the blood of Yeshua. Thank God for the sacrifice of his body and his blood that he shed for us. And that we can have remission of sins, and we can have forgiveness. And that is the most important thing, is forgiveness of sins. Bless and anoint this day, and without the resurrection, we'd all be lost. I thank God for the resurrection of the Messiah. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. Amen. Resurrection is very important. Today's April 5th, 2015, as they say in the Gregorian calendar. And it's Nisan 15. Time is moving on. We had the on the way home last night. We seen the full moon. Did you guys see that? Wow, it was big too. Looks like everyone's seen it. You took a picture of it, right? Okay. Anyway, just a reminder: the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread is April 11th, and that's going to fall right on our Sabbath. So. You know, it's going to be a Sabbath. And then, of course, 7 weeks from the resurrection, a Feast of Weeks. I mean, that's amazing. I'm just thinking, my mind is thinking about how fast everything comes and goes. Like we waited so long for Passover, and now it's over. Unleavened Bread. So May 24th, 2015... if you'd like to join us again, it's a Sabbath. We'll have two Sabbaths in a row. Okay. You coming? Lord willing. Today's topic, of course, is Chag HaMatzah. You know, it's a Feast of Unleavened Bread, right? Obviously. Feast of Unleavened Bread. So let's read a little bit. And you can follow me or look in your Bibles or look at the screen. That's big enough, right? It's big, huh? Exodus 12. 7 days we're going to eat unleavened bread. This is Exodus 12, 15. The first day shall put away leaven out of our houses. We did. We took sin out of our lives. We always are consciously aware of that every day. And whosoever eats leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And we got plenty of unleavened bread. We got boxes of matzahs. We got all the sisters made unleavened bread. We made unleavened bread. We're full of unleavened bread. We're making sure we're eating in 7 days, too. In the first day shall be a holy convocation. That's today. And a holy convocation means a public meeting. It's an assembly of the righteous people of God that keep his commandments. And then in the seventh day, there's going to be a holy convocation. No manner of work is going to be done today. I can't think of any work I did today, save that which every man must eat. So the only thing you can do is prepare your foods. That only may be done. So you can cook your foods, eat your foods, you know. So that's okay. But no manner of work, you know, no paychecks today. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread in the selfsame day. Have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt? Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations for an ordinance for when? Forever. That's why we're doing it in memorial today. Unfortunately, all the churches are packed out today doing Easter and Easter egg hunts. We're doing the first day of unleavened bread, which happens to fall this year on also the first fruits, which is resurrection, which is unique. I don't think this has ever happened. Has this ever happened before? That we can? No. Really? In the first month, the 14th day of the month, we did at eve. We actually did this. This is so great to know that we actually did this at even. We ate the unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the at even. See, 20th, it says 1 at the 21st day of the month at even. 7 days we're going to eat unleavened, no leaven. You know, because we even looked in our house, we don't even have things with leaven, huh? I mean, no leaven is found in our houses. Whosoever eats that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether it be a stranger or it's either the Ezrach or the Ger, the home, you know, the stranger or the homeborn. Nothing leavened. And basically, you know, when I read this, I know a lot of people going, well, what's the big deal about this unleavened bread? And but it's really spiritually getting, it's so important to get sin out of your life. So important to get sin out of your thoughts, what you look at, what you think, it's so important because God is so pure, he's beyond us. He says he's so holy, he doesn't even look at sin, but he's aware of it. His eyes are so pure. Isn't that amazing? It says the heavens are not cleaned in his sight, and I'm thinking his heavens. That's why he's going to destroy the heavens, and there's going to be new heavens and a new earth. Exodus 13. Now, this is all the unleavened bread in the Torah. Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, sanctify me all the firstborn. Anyone here a firstborn? You're the firstborn. You're the only born. Whosoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both man and of beast, it is mine. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day. And we got to always remember this day. We're always cautioned about remembering this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of, we were in bondage to sin. For by strength of hand, Jehovah brought you out from this place, and you should have no leavened bread be eaten. So even if we think about it spiritually, our last lives of sin, we were in bondage, in chains, spiritually, stuck there without even knowing it. We were trapped. This day came you out in the month Ha'aviv, right? And this is the Nisan. This is Ha'aviv, the newness of the barley. And Sister Louise made some barley unleavened breads, right? I had some yesterday. I like those. It says, and it shall be when Jehovah brings thee into the land of the Canaanites. We're in the land right now of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Girgashites, all the Shites. which he swear unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, thou shalt keep this service in this month. And I suspect these Amorites, Hittites, they're everywhere besides in Israel, but they're all around here too, right? Spiritually speaking, we're talking. Remember, I'm talking the physical and then there's the spiritual. 7 days, again. You shall eat unleavened bread, and the seventh day shall be a feast to Jehovah. The reason why I put all these down here, because this feast comes, I hear a friend of mine, he used to say to me, do we really have to eat unleavened bread? And I said, it only says it a gazillion times here. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days. And there shall no leaven be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen in all your quarters. So wherever you go, you can't you can't put it in your garage. You have to get rid of it because that's part of your house too. We dumped everything, right? Anywhere you live, right? And thou shalt show thy son in that day. You got to get some sons. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, "This is yeah, needs a wife first before you get some sons." And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, "This is done because of that which Yehovah did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt, and it shall be a sign unto thee." You know, you're the only one that has the opportunity to actually tell your when you get married and tell your children and all that stuff, because all the rest of us, the children are already too grown up and on their way into wickedness, and they're on their way into idleness. But you haven't. You could actually do this. Teach your children when they're young. It shall be a sign unto you upon your hand, and this doesn't mean physical. And a memorial. It's a memorial between your eyes. A memorial. And Jehovah's law, Jehovah's Torah, may be in thy mouth. But with a strong hand had Jehovah brought thee out of Egypt. And I know a lot of times we don't think about how it's really a powerful thing for us to escape sin. I mean, our actions have changed, or our thoughts have changed, or our conversation, verbiage has all changed. We don't use bad, we don't say anything lewd or everything has changed. We're like a born again. We're a new creature. How about that? And you know what's interesting about it? If people don't say there's something different about you, then there probably isn't. So it's good when they say, "Man, you changed." That's good. Thank you. Thou shalt keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. And that's what we do. And we've been doing it now 14 years. You've been doing it 6 years, 3 years, and you don't know. Leviticus 23, which is where now we're moving up down the Torah here. Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, "Speak unto the children of Israel, which is the children of Jacob," and we're all children of Jacob, "and say unto them concerning the feasts of Jehovah, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts." I remember when I found this verse, I was so like, gosh, God has feasts? I never even thought of that. And I never heard anyone talk about that. I mean, the one who created the whole universe has feasts. 6 days works, and then he goes right into the Sabbath. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest. It's a Shabbat Shabbaton. It's a holy convocation, a Mikra Kodesh. You should do no work. Lo tovah. It is the Sabbath of Jehovah in all your dwellings. And that's one of the little ingredients of the Sabbath that made people leave us. They could not get the Sabbath going in all their dwellings. And that's real bad. Some people were trying to, the kids were playing video games or the wife was doing something. They're trying to hide in a room and then people were knocking on the door. And, that's impossible to keep the Sabbath like that. These are the feasts of Jehovah, even holy convocations, which we do proclaim to be, we proclaim in their seasons. We've tried before to make signs and put ads in papers and news, news kind of clips. It didn't do anything. So now we just, we wish people would come and join us in our congregation. We have had people contact us. They wanted to join us for the Passover. But we don't accept guests because we don't know who they are and we don't know what they do. We know what everyone here does, and we know you guys know what we do. We're not like acting holy and then I go home and watch the movies tonight. Like last night or go out. So we don't know what people do. We realize that it's a very serious matter. And on the 15th day, which is today, is the month of the unleavened feast of unleavened bread unto Jehovah. So this is a feast unto God today. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. Amen. What's that word, must? The first day is a holy convocation today. No melechet avodah, no work of any type or kind shall be done. But you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Jehovah 7 days. In the 7 days, a holy convocation, you should do no civil work therein. The only thing we don't do is offerings of fire, because that was you need Levite priests. But we do give an offering to God. And, you know, I don't know if you're supposed to give one every day, but this one says 7 days. But any offering would be good to God, you know. So now we'll move into Numbers 28. Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel, and say unto them, My offering, and my bread for my sacrifice is made by fire for a sweet savour unto me, shall you observe to offer unto me in their due seasons. So God wanted this. God required all these things, because at first he didn't require sacrifices. He wanted people just to be obedient. Then because sin entered the picture, then that's when sacrifices came in. You know, it's a sad thing. So now there's all types of offerings. There's sweet savors. There's sweet savor unto God. In the 14th day, which we did yesterday, the first month is the Passover. We did that yesterday. And, of course, you can do the Passover in the second month, too, if you're unclean by some reason, you know, but we'd have to know about that. In the 15th day of this month is the feast, which is right now. 7 days shall unleavened bread be eaten. In the first day is a holy convocation. You should do no manner of servile work therein. But you shall offer a sacrifice made by fire for a burnt offering unto Jehovah. 2 young bullocks, 1 ram, 7 lambs of the first year. They shall be unto you without blemish. That always amazes me when I read this kind of stuff, you know, because my mind, instead of just speed reading it, I actually think about everyone had to have livestock, and they had to have the firstborns set aside to do these feasts. Isn't that amazing? And they had to have no blemish. Imagine that. I mean, and their meat offering shall be of flour. See, the meat offering is not only meat, but this food offering is of flour mingled with oil. 3 tenth deals shall you offer for a bullock, and 2 tenth deals for a ram. 7 tenth deals shalt thou offer for every lamb throughout the 7 lambs, and 1 goat for a sin offering to make an atonement for you. You shall offer these beside the burnt offering in the morning, which is for a continual burnt offering. So I remember someone online was telling me, I was telling him about the feast and the Sabbath. He goes, oh man, stop, you're giving me too much to do. And I'm thinking, gosh, imagine if we had to do all this. And on the 7th day shall be a holy congregation, no work at all. And now we're finishing with the Torah, because we're getting to Deuteronomy, which is actually the 40 years later, after the wilderness, is Deuteronomy. So the same message. Just think, 40 years expired, and the same message Moses is going, observe the month Ha'aviv, and keep the Passover. So isn't that amazing? 40 years later, and unto Jehovah thy God, for in the month of Ha'aviv, Yehovah, thy God, brought you forth out of the Egypt by night. And we did our Passover last night in the night. And we have to sort of like, you know, visualize this whole episode that was probably so amazing, which we can't really grasp, you know, exactly what took place. But they were fleeing in the night, you know. And thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto Yehovah thy God of the flock and of the herd, in the place which Jehovah shall choose to place his name there. Thou shalt eat no unleavened bread. 40 years later, they're saying the same thing. No leavened bread. Excuse me. No leavened bread. 40 years later. I'm so happy my group here is just right on me. That's good. You guys know what I mean. You know what I mean. Supposed to eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shall eat unleavened bread with therewith. And the bread, see, this is called the bread of affliction. Yeah, unleavened bread is the bread of affliction, humble bread, you know, no pride, nothing puffed up. For thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, I bet that thou mayest remember the day when you came forth out of the land of Egypt, all the days of your life. And God wants you to remember, you should be very thankful and thanking the Lord all the time, how he saved you from your last life of sin, of knowing nothing. And you were lost, actually. And now it's such an amazing thing to know these things. So I thank God for myself. I hope you do too, because we were lost. Just think, if we would have died before this, we would have been lost, because we weren't doing anything. And there shall be no leavened bread seen with thee in all thy coasts 7 days. Not me. You're not going to see no leaven with me. Neither shall there be anything of the flesh which thou sacrificest the first day at even remain all night unto the morning. And last night, our brother Zach here made sure there was definitely no lamb left. He checked every speck. Nothing was left unto the morning. Thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates, which Jehovah thy God gives thee, which we don't, that has nothing to do with us. But at the place which Jehovah thy God shall choose to place his name in, there shalt thou sacrifice the Passover at even, at the going down of the sun, which we did. And it was the right season. Thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt. It's amazing just to think. In the first month of God, they came forth out of Egypt. You know? Imagine that, just thousands of years ago. Probably almost close to 6,000 years ago. Oh, no, not 6,000 years. Close to about 4,000 years ago. Yeah, something like that. It says, and thou shalt turn in the morning and go unto thy tents. And we did. We turned into the morning, went home to our tents, which is our abodes, right? Yeah, I mean, it's just a different time of the different century. They went into their tents. You went back to your abode, right? 6 days we're going to eat unleavened bread. 7th day shall be a solemn assembly. Solemn. It says, to Jehovah thy God, thou shalt do no work therein. And now we're going to read some stories about some other people that did it in very much excitement. Hezekiah, he was a good king. Sent to all Israel and Judah, and he wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of Yehovah at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto Jehovah God of Israel. Right? This is 2 Chronicles chapter 30. For the king, he's the king of Judah, the king had taken counsel and his princes and all the congregation in Jerusalem to keep the Passover in the second month, because a lot of the people were unclean. And they read that in the Torah. That's where it says in the Torah. And they should not keep it at that time because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently. They didn't get rid of all the sin in their lives and their families. And, you know, neither had the people gathered themselves together at Jerusalem. See, it's a holy convocation to all be together. And I wish some other people would have been with us, you know, at the Passover, because it's very important. And this thing pleased the king and all the congregation. So it's a happy thing. And they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba to unto Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover unto Jehovah, the God of Israel, at Jerusalem. For they had not done it in a long time in such sort as it was written. Isn't that terrible? And that's probably due to wars and being pursued, and, you know, their lives are totally different than ours, you know. Their lives are totally different. So the posts, these guys on the horses, I guess they're horses, went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all the Israel and Judah, and according to the commandment of the king, saying, you, children of Israel, turn again unto Jehovah, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the land of the king of Assyria. So, obviously, the king of Assyria had them captive. Remember, they were cast out of the Samaria, and some other people of the lands were put there. It says, and don't be like your fathers. We don't want to be like our fathers, though, right? And like your brethren, which trespassed against Jehovah God of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation, as you see. So we don't want to be like our relatives. I suspect every one of our relatives must have heard somewhere in their life about the Sabbath, just that they never spoke it, and it gets forgotten. That's why it says Shema Yisrael, you know, to hear and speak. You know. Now be not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto Jehovah and enter into his sanctuary, which he had sanctified forever, and serve Jehovah your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. Ooh, that's scary. That's a scary thought. And if you turn again unto Jehovah, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive. Isn't that, he'll make your captives merciful unto you, so that they will come again into the land. For Jehovah your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you. That's only if you return unto him. Shuvu, you know, make a total about face. So the posts passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh unto Zebulun. But they, check this out, the people are so wicked and so evil, they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. That's how gone they were in these children of Israel were so gone. Nevertheless, divers of Asher and Manasseh and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. So some did, and a lot of them didn't. Also in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of Jehovah. And there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month, a great congregation. I'd like to have it where everyone around here gets something like that, and this place is way too small. Imagine this place just packed out with people just saying, we didn't do the unleavened bread for so many years, and we know. And it says, they rose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, the pagan altars, and all the altars for incense took they away and cast them into the brook Kidron. That Kidron place must be packed out with a bunch of bad stuff. And guess what? They killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month. And the priests and the Levites were ashamed, of course. And then they finally sanctified themselves and brought in the burnt offerings into the house of Jehovah. So even them had to repent unto God. And they stood in their place after their manner, according to the Torah of Moses, the man of God. And the priests sprinkled the blood which they received of the hand of the Levites. And there were many in the congregation that was not sanctified. Therefore the Levites had the charge of the killing of the Passover for every one that was not clean. Imagine that. They had to go kill every animal to sanctify them unto Jehovah. Talk about, that's a lot of stuff. For a multitude of people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. But Hezekiah, which was a righteous king, he prayed for them, saying, the good Jehovah pardon every one that prepares his heart to seek God, Jehovah God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. Amen. So anyone, isn't that amazing? God is always willing to forgive you if you turn to him. It's amazing. And Jehovah hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. Beautiful. And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the Levites, the priests, praised Jehovah day by day, singing with loud instruments unto Jehovah. And that's what we're doing. And that's why when you tell me to lower down, I say no. It says singing with what kind of instruments?
Loud.
That's right. And Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that taught good knowledge of Jehovah. Levites were the teachers, yeah. And they did eat throughout all the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings, making confession to Jehovah God of their fathers. Amen. And the whole assembly took counsel to keep. They were so excited, they actually did it another 7 days and kept other 7 days with gladness. That's how happy they were, and so they haven't done it in such a long time. And Hezekiah, king of Judah, did give to the congregation check this out. Can't even imagine this. He gave the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 7,000. 7,000 sheep. Just to have 7,000 sheep, that means they must have had amazing amounts of property and 1,000 bullocks. And the princes gave the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 10,000 sheep. And a great number of priests sanctify themselves. I only seen like maybe the most 20 or 30 sheep, but could you imagine seeing 10,000 sheep?
And you can't just have them stacked right next to each other. They have to be spread out.
Yeah, it's a lot. That's a big area. And all the congregation of Judah with the priests and the Levites and all the congregation came out of Israel, and the strangers that were come out of the land of Egypt that dwell in Judah, they all rejoiced. Amen. So there was great joy in Jerusalem. For since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. Isn't that terrible? Hezekiah to Solomon is a long time. Then the priests, the Levites, arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, even heaven. And that's beyond this universe. So when you pray, you have to picture your prayers are going up beyond the universe, into the heavens of God. Amen. So that was Hezekiah. And now we're going to read a little bit about Josiah. He kept the Passover too. Josiah. Moreover, Josiah kept the Passover unto Jehovah in Jerusalem, and they kill the Passover. They do everything like according to the 14th day of the first month. And he set the priests in their charges and encouraged them to the service of the house of Jehovah. Now this is 2 Chronicles 35. And said unto the Levites that taught all, the Levites always teach all the Israel, which were holy unto Jehovah, put the holy ark in the house which Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, did build. It shall not be a burden upon your shoulders. Serve Jehovah your God and his people Israel. And prepare yourselves by the houses of your fathers after your courses, according to the writing of David, king of Israel, and according to the writing of Solomon, his son. So all the Levites had to get in spiritual shape and do everything right. I mean, imagine, like, you know, they were all, Israel went to Assyria, and, you know, of course, Judah went to, with Nebuchadnezzar, a lot of stuff. So they killed the Passover, and they sanctified. Oh, and he said, and stand in the holy place according to the divisions of the families of the fathers of your brother and the people, and after the divisions of the families of the Levites. So they killed the Passover and sanctified themselves, and prepared your brethren, that they may do according to the word of Jehovah by the hand of Moses. So Josiah gave to the people of the flock lambs and kids and for all the Passover offerings and for all that were present to the number of 30,000 and 3,000 bullocks. These were of the king's substance. Could you imagine that? Gosh, I don't have any animals. We have to get some sheep. We have no sheep and no goats. So his princes gave. They gave. Here's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to do it willingly. They gave willingly unto the people, to the priests and to the Levites. Hilkiah and Zechariah and Yehaliel, rulers of the house of God, gave unto the priests for the Passover offering 2,600 small cattle and 300 oxen. These are all for the sacrifices. Coniah also and Shemaiah and Nethaneel, his brethren, and Hashabiah and Yael and Yazabab, chief of the Levites, gave unto the Levites for the Passover offering. They gave 5,000 small cattle and 500 oxen. And this is, of course, this is known as their money, you know, their animals and their life. This is their livelihood. So a lot of people go, oh, you just want money. Well, if you had a bunch of animals, show me your animals. So, yeah, bring us some sheep. I'll bring them to my farm. So the service was prepared, and the priests stood in their place, and the Levites in their courses, according to the king's commandment. And they killed the Passover, and they sprinkled The priests sprinkled the blood from their hands, and the Levites frayed them. Wow. That means they cut them. They frayed them. And they removed the burnt offerings. And they removed the burnt offerings that they might give according to the divisions of the families of the people to offer unto Jehovah, as is written in the book of Moses. So did they with the oxen. So these guys had the Tanakh, they had the Torah, right? And they roasted the Passover with fire according to the ordinance. But the other holy offerings sawed they in pots and in cauldrons and in pans and divided them speedily among all the people. And afterward they made ready for themselves and for the priests, because the priests, the sons of Aaron, were busied in offering of the burnt offerings and the fat until night. Therefore the Levites prepared for themselves and for the priests, the sons of Aaron. Talk about doing a lot of things. I mean, we just basically roasted, in memorial, we roasted our lamb out there. This is amazing. It's amazing, isn't it? And the singers, the sons of Asaph, were in their place according to the commandment of David. And Asaph, there's Asaph, and Herman, and Yaduthem, the king's seer, and the porters waited at every gate that they might not depart from their service, for their brethren, the Levites, prepared for them. So you know, if you got to picture all this. So all the service of Jehovah was prepared the same day to keep the Passover and to offer burnt offerings unto the altar of Jehovah according to the commandment of Josiah. And the children of Israel were present. The children of Israel that were present kept the Passover at that time and the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days. So we're doing, it's almost like, you know, we're just like them. We found it written in the book of the Lord that we're supposed to do these. I remember when we found the Feast of God, that term was like, wow, the Feast of Jehovah? Wow. Check this out. And there was no Passover like that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. Neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept. I mean, they really got everyone repenting and sanctified everybody and got all the animals and sacrifices and just did everything. And the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel that were present in the inhabitants of Jerusalem. In the 18th year of the reign of Josiah was the Passover kept. So I wonder what he did before that. Yeah, it took him a while to find that. Remember, they found the book of the Lord in the house of the Lord. That was Hilkiah, and who's the other guy? I can't remember. So let's move up a little closer to Ezra. Ezra means help. The elders of the Jews builded and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. These are all contemporary prophets that are around during Ezra. And they built it and finished it. This is the temple, according to the commandment of God of Israel, and according to God gave favor. All these kings, he gave the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, kings of Iran, Persia. Boy, they'd turn over if they knew this, Iran. And this house was finished on the third day of the month Adar. That's the 12th month, which was in the 6th year of the reign of Darius the king. And the children of Israel, the priests and the Levites and the rest of the children of captivity, they kept the Hanukkah of this house of God with joy, the dedication. See, it has to do with the temple. And they offered at the Hanukkah, the dedication of this house of God, 100. These guys just went all out. They offered 100 bullocks, 200 rams, 400 lambs for a sin offering for all Israel. 12 he-goats, according to the number of the tribes of Israel. And they set the priests in their divisions and the Levites in their courses for the service which is at Jerusalem, as is written in the book of Moses. Notice how they all follow the book of Moses. And the children of Israel, it's actually the book that God gave Moses, and the children of the captivity kept the Passover. This is when they got out of captivity. They're known as the children of the captivity, kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. They did exactly what we did. For the priests and the Levites were purified together, and all of them were pure. You got to be pure. and kill the Passover for all the children of the captivity, and for their brethren the priests, and for themselves. And the children of Israel, which were come again out of the captivity, and all such as separated themselves unto them from the filthiness of the heathen of the land, to seek Jehovah God of Israel, did eat. And that's the reason why we can't have guests. We don't know if people actually separated themselves from the filthiness of the heathen. And they kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy. I am very happy to do this. For Jehovah made them joyful and turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them. What more can you ask for your enemies to be merciful unto you and to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel? And now we'll read a little bit in Ezekiel. And we're almost finished. Ezekiel 45. Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, in the first month, the first day of the month, thou shalt take a young bullock without blemish and cleanse the sanctuary. And the Kohen, the priest, shall take of the blood of the sin offering and put it upon the posts of the house and upon the four corners of the settle of the altar and upon the posts of the gate of the inner court. And so shalt thou do 7 days of the month, for every one that errs, and for him that is simple. In other words, the people that are not intelligently equipped. So shall you reconcile the house. In the first month, in the 14th day of the month, you shall have the Passover. A feast of 7 days, unleavened bread shall be eaten. So here we have it. After the Torah, all the kings would do it. Some of the kings did it. And now the prophets are talking about it. And upon that day the prince shall prepare for himself and for all the people of the land a bullock for a sin offering. And 7 days of the feast shall prepare a burnt offering to Jehovah, 7 bullocks, 7 rams, without blemish, daily for 7 days, and kill the goats for daily for a sin offering. So remember, the holy days were observed thousands of years later in the Gospels and letters too. Remember, and I was reading some of Luke this morning, and Yeshua did the Passover, the disciples did the Passover, they did the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and it's almost like after everyone died, it all got erased. Then the year 100, different scholars, so-called scholars, took over, and they perverted the Word of God, and then later on the Catholic Church was created. But anyway, you can go to my site right here. Spring Feasts and Gospels and Letters.htm, and if you want to read that. So the resurrection, this is what it's all about. And all I can tell you is Yeshua taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered unto the hands of sinners, and they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. Yeshua said unto them, I am the resurrection and the life. And if you believe in him, even though you are dead, you're going to live. Amen. Whosoever lives in me shall never die. So, do you believe that? It says, he says, do you believe this? I do. And I hope you do too. So we do these feasts and memorial the best we understand. I mean, God be with us while we do them. And I hope you liked my study, enjoyed it. Hope we're just like all these other people that found all these feasts and Sabbaths in the Bible that were hidden. And we're just like them. So if we could have wrote a book after this, we'd be writing the same things down. And we found also the feasts and the Sabbaths and the seven Sabbaths and the feasts. And anyway, Shabbat Shalom. I hope you got something out of this. And we're going to end here. Let's see. That was just about an hour study. And may God bless you today. May God bless our Feast of Unleavened Bread and this holy Mikra Kodesh today, this assembly, and with conversations of God and studies. And may God be with every one of you in your lives, wherever they may lead, the life may lead you. And may God lead you. God bless you, everyone. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. So I'm going to get off the mic, and if anyone has anything to say, let's all try to be like Josiah and Hezekiah and Ezra and all these people, and it's a joyful thing. Shabbat Shalom. I'm going to stop the video if I could find it. There it is. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. And that's the end of that. And I'll stop the audio. That's the end of that.